Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With joy, they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
knowledge.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only, Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely, eternally charming...
I'm just delirious.
She is delirious. Diane Brierley. Also, the amazing Philip James Unger, engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markunger.com. I got the Liberace jacket back
you
on today.
You do.
Several weeks ago?
Yes, month you
ago.
Are.
But I had this black shirt on.
Yes.
And it was like serious contrast. It was like people's minds were going insane. So you said try.
The gray.
Gray. That looks better.
It does.
And like but more rings would probably help.
But it's I need more sparkly
need more rings.
I got the sparkly.
The watch band.
The watch. That's sparkly. Right? Yeah. Kind of. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, a few knuckle busters.
Still pretty loud though. Feel
like. Some glasses with rhinestones. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to justify this jacket. Anyway. This is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Remain totally anonymous. We, in turn, are then brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. If you're not up for brutal honesty, if you want someone to be sensitive, caring, compassionate, email somebody else. Because that's not what this show is. It's a show of brutal honesty. We don't know who you are. Nobody knows who you are. And how about you just, you're writing to find out what we think. That's all. If we like what you think, we like your conclusions, we will celebrate you. We'll praise you. We'll think you're fabulous. If we don't like what you think, we'll castigate you. That's how the show works. Three versions of castigation on the show. If we think you need to be awakened out of your delusions, we'll stick your head in the toilet, flush it, and give you a swirly. Hopefully the water spinning around your head will awaken you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on with too many unrelated, unnecessary details, which many people are prone to do, you'll get the chicken. You get all three. You're first officially crazy. What have you got there? For
okay, this little article you actually had posted on your Facebook page.
Hey, your fingernails match my jacket now.
I know, they
so
do.
It's all great. So,
okay. This was
hey, your hair is starting to match my jacket.
Will you stop?
All right, never mind.
Will you stop?
I stopped. Okay.
Stop.
I did.
You put this article on your Facebook page, and people kind of went crazy with their comments about it. They were quite unhappy. So if you're unhappy about
it. Not all of them.
No.
But there were. Yeah,
there were. Yeah, there were very unhappy people. Right. I thought it was a very good article. 5 ways you are unknowingly destroying your husband and killing your marriage. And yes, I'm sure there are 5 ways that the husbands are unknowingly killing their wives and their marriage. This article doesn't talk about it. So I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about it.
I always find of interest is you can post anything one way or the other. And you get all these people whining. Well, what about the other one?
Yeah.
It's like, we're not talking about the
read
other one. We're just
your
talking
own mail.
About this one, you know?
Just this one. Just this one. I'm
everything's
sure it's
got to be fair.
There.
Everything has to be fair all the time.
Yeah.
You got to be fair. If you're not fair.
Yeah. Tell the other side of the story. No, I'm sorry. We're not. Today, it's the side of the story.
You know, these people are so... If they were going to control a game, let's say, like soccer, a game I despise, all right? But many of
here
our
he goes, Phil.
Many of our watchers, yeah, world,
yes.
Most popular sport in the world.
You have a Laugh Your Way team.
We actually sponsor a soccer team.
Yes, you do. How'd that happen, Mark?
I don't know. My son runs the company. That's how it happens.
He plays on the team.
Well, it's easy to do when you own the team. You can do whatever you want. All right, I could play on the team. I'll be the goalie. I'll be the fat guy in the end.
And nobody got more than nobody, goal.
I just bounce the ball off my belly. Boing, boing, boing. All right. So anyway, it would be like, you know, these people. Okay, one team scored. Okay, now everybody get out of the way and let the other team score.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now let the other teams. They're just so obsessed with everything being balanced. Yeah. You know, sometimes Everything doesn't have to be exactly equal all the time. Anyway, what am I talking about?
Go ahead. The five things you can do. The first one, living outside of what you can afford. The best thing you can do as
spending
a wife
too much money.
Is to live within your husband's means. Yep. Mm-hmm. Wives, show sincere appreciation and respect to your husband by carefully following a budget, making the most of what you have. Be wise about your finances.
Now, let us stress again, the reason they're talking to women is because the article is how to destroy your husband.
Are there husbands who don't follow the budget? Of course
there are. Are there?
But it's mostly women. Is that what that's what it's saying?
No.
It's not what it's saying.
No, that's not.
Okay.
No. I'm sure there are an equal number out there.
That's right. Now, there are husbands, rare though they may be, that spend too much money. For example, they get all kinds of fancy shirts.
And jackets. And shoes. And watches.
And fancy leather shoes, you know, made from anaconda snakes and stuff. Now, those guys.
Those guys
are out of control.
Those shoes and
so
jackets.
So you know you're killing your wife and your marriage?
Yeah, this screams practicality.
It's an everyday. Oh, yeah.
Every man needs this.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Back in the 20s,
move
that's what they
used to. Move out of my monitor. I can't see myself. It's all about me. I'm yelling at the cameraman.
Because Eric keeps standing in front of the monitor.
You're going to have a camera in front of your face.
It's one of the seven deadly
it's
sins.
Not enough, but
it seriously is.
It's one of the seven deadly sins in here.
Blocking his monitor.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Okay, number two, constant negativity.
Yes.
You hate your hair, the messes around the house, the neighbors across the street, your dumb coworker, the old dishwasher, and everything in between. Yes.
Yeah,
as soon as your husband walks through the door, you launch into action and dump every negative and angry thought that's crossed your mind throughout the day.
Yeah, just unloading.
Negativity
all the time, being
is
negative.
Draining.
Would that be true the other way around?
Yes. It is.
All of these are true the other way around. But that's just, we didn't write the article.
No.
We're simply reporting. We report, you decide.
Would all these things kill your wife if you did them as a husband? Yes,
probably.
They probably
that's the
would.
Point. Just stop. Don't
just
be so
don't
negative
okay.
all the time. All right.
Number three, putting everything else first.
This is the hottest one.
This is one I think that made them crazy.
This
angry.
Is really what made them crazy.
When your children, mom, best friends, talents, or career in front of your husband, you put those all things in front of your husband. You send a clear message to him that he is unimportant. Imagine having that message sent to you every day for many years. What would that do to your self-esteem? Put your husband first.
Okay, so now this is where the big debate comes in. And people often get into arguments about this. What's the priorities?
The kids.
Okay, do your kids come before your husband? Does your husband come before your kids? Like, people argue about this, and I just think it's a stupid argument. Why are we even having these arguments about priorities like the just put everybody first? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, don't just ignore somebody. See, what happens, what becomes negative is often you ignore your husband because you're doing other things. And with the kids and everything else. Look, if you can do them all, do it all. But you shouldn't be ignoring anyone. You shouldn't be ignoring your kids. You shouldn't be doing, it's not about that. This whole priority thing, though, gets crazy. And people say, you know, the most amount of time is where you put priority. That's not true at all.
No.
You know, for example, priority. What should come first in your life?
God,
okay. You know, so you got God, you've got work, you've got family, right? What they would say is the priority should be God, your family, and then work should be last.
Yes.
But what do you spend most of your time doing?
Work.
Working. It's not a matter of time.
No.
So if you work 40 hours a week, that means you got to at least spend 42 hours a week with your family and another 43 hours a week in prayer.
Right.
Okay, so this whole thing about who spends more time, and it's just...
It goes back to the whole fairness thing again. That everything has to be equally measured out, and
so
that's not true.
What set so many women off is that she's saying, you know, your husband should come before your kids, and that's what they couldn't get their heads around that, but I care about more than you shouldn't care more about anybody than anybody. No. I mean, obviously you care more about your kids than your neighbor's kids.
Right.
They're really obnoxious. But you know what I'm saying? Just this whole argument about who feels more about something, I just think is a ridiculous argument. The point is, fulfill your responsibilities.
Yes.
Fulfill your responsibilities to your husband, to your wife, to your job, to your children, whatever. That's, I think, the important thing. And not getting into this debate about who comes first.
And this one also goes the other way, because husbands can put their hobbies or their job
or everything
before the wife. I mean, it's still the same on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and it's not to say that you have to spend as much time with your wife as you do.
Well, how ridiculous is that?
On a round of golf. A golf, 4 hours.
Yes.
4.5 hours to do a round of golf.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to get into involved in a 4.5 conversation with my wife. I love my wife. Of all the wives I've ever had, she's one of my favorite. Okay? I've only had one, for the record.
In fact, there's an article, I'll have to bring it. It's 6 minutes. Men turn off at 6 minutes max, according to a study that they just did, listening to their wives talk about the details of things and their emotions. 6 minutes.
Now, should my wife be more... Now, if I totally ignore my wife to go playing golf, now that's wrong. Right. But to get into this debate about how much time...
You spend 4 hours on the golf course, and now you have to spend 4 hours...
Four and a half hours talking with my wife.
No.
And now 5 hours in prayer, because prayer should be more important than my wife, which should be more important than golf. And I just think it's crazy. Okay.
The fourth thing you can do to destroy your husband and kill your marriage is withhold physical affection.
Yeah, which you can do. And that... Now, there, I will say this. One thing that your husband does notice, because women often say, well, you know, I'm too tired, and... Don't think that your husband doesn't notice. These women seem to make time for everything in their lives.
Yes.
Except physical time with their husbands.
Yes.
And at that point, now, you're in a bad place.
Yes.
And
but
he
we
sees
hear
that.
So often
you
from-
got time to clean the toilets, and I got to do this, and I got to knit, you know, a bunch of underwear or whatever they do, and I got to do this, and I got to clean that, and I got to go visit my mom, and I got to do everything. Yes. They make time for everything. But when it comes time with him, I'm too tired.
Yeah.
And that's at some point, that does get insulting.
And we do hear from women who the opposite is true, that the husband is the one that's withholding the physical.
It goes both ways.
And the last one,
fairness people. Okay.
The last one, this really is more of a guy thing, not speaking his language.
Exactly. For example, we have a friend in the next room over here.
Yes.
Isabella.
Yes.
Isabella. Beautiful Isabella. She's from Croatia.
Yes.
She should speak her husband's language. Because when she speaks in Croatian, he has no idea what she's saying.
Well...
Right?
Right.
I know. So,
okay.
Is that what they're talking about?
No, they're saying women love to drop hints. I think it's part of their DNA. But men just don't get them, and that's part of their DNA. Don't waste your time giving subtle hints that he won't understand. Speak plainly to him. Be honest about your feelings and don't bottle things up until you burst. Whoops, I do that.
Do you?
Oh, I do. I just
bottle
not
it, and then you explode. Boom!
I do.
Oh, man. Do. She's intense when she's in a good mood. Why anybody would get her in a bad mood intentionally is beyond me.
Don't make me mad. You won't like me.
She's like the Incredible Hulk. All right, that's our opening salvo. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
On the Mark Gunger Show. Apparently, we found the point at which Diane will quit making fun of me during the break. She says, if you start to cry,
I'll stop.
So apparently, that's what it would take.
Well, you laugh. I say things and make jokes and I tease you and you laugh.
It
is, so I keep
it's
going
funny.
Because
it is
you laugh.
Funny. But now you all know that's what it will take.
No.
If she starts picking on you, just start crying. She'll stop.
If you stopped laughing, I'd stop picking on you. If you
said
angry,
crying.
I'd stop picking on you. And if you started to cry, I'd stop picking on you. There's three thresholds.
Or angry crying.
Angry crying. I'm good at that, too.
She can do that, too. She's scary. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right, answering your emails. What do you got?
First email says, do you have any suggestions on how to convince a not interested husband in going to one of your seminars?
Barter with him. Seriously, barter with him. People don't like that.
I hate that.
I don't know why they're against it, what the deal is. Men, listen, you want to understand men? Let me explain something to you. Men do things to get things. It's just plain and simple. Always has been, always will be. And there's people, I've heard preachers who preach against this, that you shouldn't be this way. But I disagree. God has always known this about men. From the very beginning, God came to men, had Moses stand up and say, look, I'm going to set before you life and death. Okay? If you want life, here's how great your life will be. If you want death, here's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just choose life. Here's your choice. If you do right, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you won't be blessed. It's just as simple. God didn't say, well, listen, I just want you to do good, and it doesn't matter if you get anything better, because if you really love me, you do it anyway. That's what God would do if he were a woman. But he's not a woman. He's God. Whatever that means. I don't even know what that means.
Can I amend that if you were a crazy woman? Not just a woman. A crazy woman.
Okay, if you were a crazy woman, and God, if you really love me, you would just do what I say. And it doesn't matter if I have to bless you. If you do just so I bless you, then there's no sense in blessing you. Okay, now there's a few women who think that way. You know this is true.
I know.
All right. If you're upset, send your emails to Diane.
They all do.
They all do anyway because I don't want to read your email. If you email, you think you're emailing me, you're delusional because I don't read any.
To be.
All right. So the thing is, God has always said, Jesus said what? Give and it
will be given.
Because he's talking to man, overwhelmingly, right? Mm-hmm. You want to motivate a man? Show him how he wins.
Yep. And so that's what's in it for me?
Jesus didn't say give just because I said give. I'm God. You should give, and you should just give. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter if you get blessed. I mean, seriously, if you stop thinking, a lot of these women think, a lot of these pastors who are half women anyway, because they go along with this nonsense. You should just do it because God says it, and it doesn't matter, and you should never reward your children. You hear this, right?
Yes.
You should never, and they're against this reward system. When the Bible is replete from beginning to end, it's all about reward. To him, whoever comes, with him, he shall be able to sit with me in my throne. There's the reward. That's the payoff. He didn't just say, just overcome, because I said so. He could have, right? He did not. Why? Because he's talking to people, and men in particular, who need motivation. Yeah. It is in a man's nature. Why women get upset when it comes to men. Well, he should just do it because he should just do it. He should want to come to your seminar because I want him to really... How delusional are you? You having a hard time getting him to come to a seminar like mine? Barter with the boy. Find out something he wants to do that maybe you don't really want him to do. You know, go golf with a weekend or something like that. Just say to him, hey, do you want to go to that game with the guys? Yeah, I thought you didn't want me to go. Well, I'll tell you what. You take me to the seminar and you can go to that. Mm-hmm. I promise you, he'll bring you. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. But see, here's the problem. Not only do they want their husbands to do something, they want them to want to do it.
And they don't want to do it.
They don't want to do it. Why do you care what he wants? Well, I want him to. He's just doing it because I asked him to. Or
because
he's just
if you
doing
really
it because
he loved me, you'd want to.
He's just doing it because I offered him something. Yes! Yes! That's exactly right. Do you know what? He married you for a reason. There was a certain payoff that he had in mind. Now, I think that on your wedding day, you might have hoped that all he was thinking was, you know, we're going to become one in the spirit. And we'll be able to pray together and hold hands. And it'll be so joyful. You know, that's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible.
It was a tiny, tiny sliver.
There's a chance. There's just a chance.
Tiny, tiny.
That maybe, just maybe, he's thinking, if I marry this chick, I get to see this chick naked. That's just a possibility. And so men do things together. Do you know why men go to work?
To get paid.
Exactly.
There's a payoff.
See? Now, if the guys...
Now Diane's going to want to pay.
I'm not going to start paying her. That's what's so terrible.
Darn.
If people... I could come to my office
what
and say...
What people get paid?
Quite over there. If I wanted to come in my office and say, you know, if you guys really love this ministry... Mm-hmm. If you really cared about saving people's hearts and lives, saving families, that all of you should work for... Tim?
Got that?
Are you listening to me? You should just do this just because.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to pay you. Shut up. Can they hear you?
No.
Okay. He's insulting me saying that's pretty much what he gets now. It's almost nothing. Which is probably true, but let's not talk about that here. The point is men, I don't know, men and women by and large too, but you'd be surprised how many women... would come to work and keep working.
They would.
Even if they didn't get paid. I know because I've had it happen before where you couldn't pay anyone. I had my own business, stuff like that. You know who still showed up?
The women.
The chicks. Because they're altruistic and they're giving and they're not wired quite the same. And I'm just telling you, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the fact that men need incentive to act. You can get a guy to do almost anything, ladies. All these girls writing, how can I get my husband to do this? You could get a guy to do almost anything if you just learn how. To work with a man. Show him how he can win. Barter with the boy. It works just fine. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Darkness is closing all around me. The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music. Jimmy Bratcher, the Electric Rev, jimmybratcher.com. Mark Gunger, Diane Briley, Phil Gunger, answering your questions, emails. What do you got?
Okay, she says, I would like to ask how to deal with Catholic guys. I have this someone that I really like. The only problem is that he is Catholic. Should I totally
priest,
close
though,
the door?
Is he a priest?
No, he's not a priest.
Because they really frown on that.
He's not a priest.
He could be.
He could be, no.
Wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would surprise
me. Yeah,
I
know.
I'm in love with a Catholic priest. He's not supposed to get married. What should we do?
That was the Thornbirds, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So she wants to know, should I totally close the door to this Christian sect because it makes us unequally yoked?
here's my advice. You want to know my advice? My advice, marriage is hard. If everything is perfect, if everything is completely ideal, it is still incredibly difficult. My question to people is, why make it harder going in? Eyes wide open, you already know some of these. Now, some people, they work around it. Some people, you know, whatever. But it depends on how intense you're about your marriage. You know, we were talking the other day just about, you know, two different people could pray totally different, and it could totally creep out their marriages.
Yes.
You got someone who's a very dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterian, or maybe a Baptist who prays very quietly. I know Baptists get real quiet before they pray. These ones I know, you know, their idea of praying is just, let's pray. And they'll slowly start talking to God, okay? Then you get to a Pentecostal. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for your word today. Your word says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God, and I thank you, Lord, for this day, and good things are before us, and you expect nothing but good and not evil for us today. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for your grace and your mercies. All right, I can do that. I'm a Pentecostal old time. Okay, now, if you pray like that all the time around a guy who just kind of barely breathes, you could kind of creep him out.
Yeah.
Or I could be really upset that my spouse doesn't pray
the way
like me.
And there are people who interpret that as being unequally yoked because they're at a different place spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
There are women especially, sorry gals, but there are, that would say, well, he's not on the same page as me. Does that, we're unequally yoked?
Or if a woman who is, if she's the Pentecostal screaming, preaching, quoting 47 verses every time she just prays for dinner, God, we thank you for the meal before us today. Where's Kurt? Kurt's got a great... Kurt, come in here.
Reverend Holyfield?
We needed
Reverend
you Holyfield. On mic, man.
We got 30 seconds, quick.
He may have left.
Did he leave?
Oh, wait.
Okay, Kurt's one of our campus pastors over in Stevens Point. All right.
We're
give us a little... Get a little you got 20 seconds.
I heard you doing a little bit of Holyfield's brother. this is from my Pentecostal roots. The best one was when I knew somebody years ago who said they didn't believe in mixed bathing. And they meant swimming. But the preacher said, we don't believe in mixed bathing. That's what it was. First time I heard that, I actually thought they meant really mixed bathing. I'm like, I don't believe in that either. I don't believe in that. No way. And they said,
no, they meant swimming. They meant swimming.
They meant swimming.
Very strict rules.
No mixed bathing unless it's with your wife.
Really? All right, we're out of time. Anyway, thank you for Reverend Holyfield. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Start the music, play this song.
Michael O'Brien, check out his music, michaelo.org. You're on The Mark Unger Show, we'll talking about love, marriage, and relationships. We had an email about a lady says, you know, she's dating a Catholic guy and says, will there be a problem? Because she's not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I was just pointing out the fact that, you know, just people, marriage is hard anyway.
Yes.
And just having people who pray dramatically different can be problematic. Yes. The littlest things can be problematic. Okay?
One who reads the Bible more than the other.
And
one
we were having fun at the Pentecostals. We're all raised Pentecostals, so no one's insulting anything. It's just funny, and most Pentecostals get it. So totally fine with that. Okay, but the problem is now you're talking about a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've got. Let's face it, the difference between Catholicism and evangelicalism is pretty strong. We don't pray to Mary. What do you want? Him to come in and pray for your little girl when she's sick and say, oh, Holy Mother, we pray for her. You know, that's going to kind of creep you out. So it just makes marriage harder. I would advise, don't go into something you know is going to be problematic. I would suggest you not do it. That's my advice. You want my advice? That's my advice. Look, sometimes just marrying someone of different cultures can make it really different. But not everyone. Isabella, she's in another room. She won't come out here. She's a chicken. Isabella's from Croatia. Isabella! Isabella, we have people from Croatia that listen to the show. We do.
Yep,
do we?
Seriously.
Yeah, we really do. Say hi to them.
Yep.
Say something in Croatian. Come here. Come here.
She's scared. She's frightened of the camera.
She's afraid of you.
She's not what?
Be afraid.
There
be
she is. Ah, she's beautiful. Look at this gorgeous Croatian. Okay, say something to all our Croatian people who are watching.
Dobar dan. Hvala da gledate našu televiziju ovdje.
Oh, cool. What was that? Mark Unger's a wonderful man?
She said, turn off your TVs and radios now and run.
Run!
That's what she said.
Please
he's a
help me.
Man.
He won't let me leave.
All right, all the Croatians back in the other room. Anyway, all right. So, but they make it fine. There's a big culture difference. Some people don't have it. I'm not saying you can't do it.
Yeah.
Look, the truth of the Bible says if you get saved and your husband's an absolute pagan and an unbeliever, and you're a devout Christian, can you make it work?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Especially in that case, it's too late. You're already married and you came to Christ. You know, it's not saying that you can't, you shouldn't be unequally. Well, if that's the case, no exceptions, no context, then every time someone who gets saved and their husband gets saved, you should divorce them. Because now you're unequally yoked. Right. Are you not?
That's true.
But what the Bible says. Don't go eyes open that way. But anybody can make anything work. But my advice, again, marriage is so hard in the first place. If you all think and act the same values, everything, it's still hard. Why intentionally make it harder? I think if a Catholic and a Protestant marrying each other, if they're both very sincere about their faith, will have problems. And there's, you know, why? It's like a Muslim and a Christian getting married or a Jewish and a Christian. I mean, can you do it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. My
Isn't
advice,
that how the Crusades started, though?
Oh, good Lord. My dad was a Muslim.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. Okay.
Later converted.
Yeah, he later converted Christian, but many, many, many years, years later. I mean, the whole time I was raised, he was a Muslim. So, you know, can you make it? Yeah, you can. But why not? Just go in eyes open. Try and get as much similarity as you possibly can in your own cultures, from your own church, from your own vows. It'll just make it easier. That's my advice. Okay. What else you got?
Okay, next question. She says, my husband has been dealing with porn. He says it started at age 7.
Wow. Who lets their kid look at porn at 7?
Well, he may have accidentally come upon it, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, a kid's got a computer, and mom's never got to be checking on it. First of all, I don't think you should let kids have unfettered access to the internet. There's a lot of nasty on there.
There's a lot of stuff. Anyway, he told me 4 years ago and still chooses to look at it.
You can Google anything and get porn.
I know. We used to Google, wasn't there something, one of our websites or whatever that would come up years ago?
Oh, if you put my name Google in there, something. It came up porn.
Yeah.
You typed it, hopefully it doesn't do it anymore.
No, I don't think it does.
But you type in the word Gunger.com, and up came like 16 Korean porn sites. Mm-hmm. Apparently Gunger is very nasty in Korean. I don't know why it was, it just was, okay?
No.
I remember once looking for a camera dolly for these cameras and stuff like that. As soon as it says the word dolly, boom, all these naked ladies pop up. Hello, dolly. I mean, like, wow, I'm looking for something for a camera. You know, I mean, so there's all kinds of, so, you know, parents, be smart.
Okay, so anyway, he told her finally 4 years ago and still chooses to look at it, but then he says that he hates it. We have been to counseling and he has gone to men's groups through our church and talked with close friends to keep him accountable. We just recently went to one of your marriage conferences and you made a comment about giving respect even when they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. How do I give respect when nothing changes? He continues to lie and look at it. We have kids, so I'm trying really hard to make this marriage work. I just feel like we have hit a brick wall.
You know, my advice, get your husband to do this. She shouldn't be dealing with it. I think a man should be talking to a young man about his value systems. And actually, some people.
She's
like
worried
this.
About her husband. Her husband is the one who's hooked on the porn.
Well, I thought she was just talking to her son.
No,
who said,
no, her husband totally hooked on it. Porn, but her husband started at age 7.
Got it.
It was the husband who's been on it since he was 7.
Well, if you're, she must be new to the show. Everybody knows who listens to the show very long. I have zero tolerance for extremely bad behavior. I think you confront it in the strongest of terms. If my wife sees me looking at porn, there's going to be hell to pay in my marriage. It just straight is.
She's not going to ask me for counseling and accountability
groups and hold a bunch of guys who hold their hands so everybody won't masturbate so we can all hold hands. And, you know, look, I'm not big on those things. First of all, I think the church misses this. We're not teaching what it means about the grace of God. That doesn't mean it's okay to do it. The grace of God teaches us to say no. We don't have to live by our feelings. If you start on, nobody has to do anything. These guys are convinced. And oftentimes, with the nod of the church, oh yeah, you can't help it. You're an addict. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you can't help it. Of course you can. Every time someone says you can't help it, you are spitting in the grace of God, I think. Mm-hmm. Because the grace of God says you can't help it. You can't stop. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and live self-controlled. Every time a person says, well, I can't do it, you're telling God he's a liar. But the church doesn't do that. They don't teach them. Guys, you don't have to do this. No. But I feel it. It doesn't matter what you feel. The beautiful thing about Christianity is we don't have to do what we feel. When you get that, it'll set you free. Do you still feel things? Yes. At times, I feel very inappropriate things. For example, there's times during the show, I want to strangle Diane to death. Now, do I do that? Of course not, because that would be not very fair, although many viewers would understand why I do it. But just because you feel something inappropriate doesn't mean you should do it. You don't have to do what we feel. Our feelings do not control us. Jesus said, I came to set them free. One of the things he came to set us free is this connection to emotions and feelings. My feelings do not dictate my behavior. I choose my behavior. It's just that simple. The church should be teaching this to young men and to old men and all their, you know, I don't care if you're an alcoholic, a drug addict, a this, a that, porn, whatever the thing is, you do not have to do it. The idea that you cannot stop is a lie. It's just a lie. You can if you're totally tapped in to the grace of God. Because the Bible says, what is it, Timothy, Titus, wherever, Titus maybe, to whatever, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Sadly, not a lot of people, they view grace of God as, oh, it's okay to do it, because we believe in the
grace
of God.
It's a license, too.
Yeah, we don't think you should feel bad if you do it because we believe in grace. Anybody says doesn't understand grace, every time somebody, pastor, some leader, says it's okay to do because we understand grace and we don't want to make people feel bad, you have no idea what grace is, because the grace you're talking about is not the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us, Paul said, to say no and to control ourselves. It's very simple. Okay. Now, you have someone who chooses to continue to not control themselves in very bad ways. I think there should be very strong consequences. I'd kick him out of the house and say, listen, you can make a choice. Either you can have me as your wife or you can have your porn. Choose. And that's what I would do. I'm not saying divorce. Bible says you shouldn't divorce. But the Bible doesn't say you have to live with him constantly. Paul said a woman should not leave her husband, but if she does, she should remain single. She shouldn't, you know, at times they did. They would separate. The strongest thing you can do is say, I'm not going to tolerate this. If I'm doing drugs, my wife isn't going to be praying for my drug habit. She'd kick me out of the house and then pray for my drug habit. Mm-hmm. If I'm dating other women, my wife isn't going to pray about my dating other women problem. She's going to kick me out and then pray for my dating other women. Because there's consequences. Yeah. Again, what did we say? Men respond to what they get.
Yes.
See, and it goes both ways. Not only do a lot of these women not want to reward their husbands when they do good, to encourage good, they don't want to discipline them when they do bad. They want to live in this neutral world. It's not God's way. God's way is blessing if you do right and confrontation if you do wrong. Jesus is the one who said, look, you confront them 1, 2, 3 times, you kick them out of the church. That's confrontation. The same thing should happen in the home. So if you have a husband, dear, who is constantly doing this behavior and you're just looking for a prayer answer to it, I think you're approaching it wrong. I think there should be some serious consequences. So, well, that's not fair because then I'll suffer too. Yeah, well, we all suffer sometimes. You know, my wife has cancer. And at times we've both suffered. You don't get to suffer alone, but you face it. You just do it together. And in this case, it's not cancer, but you've got a cancer, which is this porn problem. You don't tolerate it. And you let him know very clearly, if you want to win, you can come stay with me. Mm-hmm. I will be a lover to you. I'll be your wife too. I will take care of you. I'll do all these wonderful things. But you can't bring the porn. If you bring the porn in, you got to leave. And that's what I would do. Nothing new. Anyone who ever heard me talk about it knows exactly what I think. You want to know what I think? That's what I think. We'll take a break. I'll be back with more emails right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Goodbye, man, for a dollar and a half, but I'm way too confused. Then a friend who I never met said, I know the way you're going. I threw in the keys and said, get in. And we could take my car, but only if you drive, drive, drive. Drive, drive, drive.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. What do you got?
Okay, she listened to a past show where you were talking about betrayal and forgiveness. Her husband was unfaithful to her. Mm-hmm. And she says, like you said he was sorry and I'm supposed to get over it. I have not been able to move past it completely and it has been a while since anything has happened.
But just for the record, I don't ever use that kind of terminology in a situation like this, just to get over it.
No.
You don't ever get over something like that. You might feel the pain of what he did you till the day you die. That's why you're not supposed to do it to somebody. It's extremely painful. You don't just get over it. No, I have never told anybody who has been I'll tell somebody to get over something stupid, like they're mad at me because of something, or
I think what she's referring
Somebody tell them they, you know, smell, but I'll just get over it, you know. Adultery?
No, I think what she's referring to is when you say, if you decide to stay with him and work it out, then you have to be able to forgive and move on and you let have to, it go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yes. Just for the record.
Yes, yes.
I don't tell anybody just get over it. No, she might never get over it, but mm-hmm. she does have to forgive him. Yes. And if she chooses to stay with him, then you need to stay with him
yes.
and move on.
Yes,
but
yes.
not just get over it. Okay.
Okay, she says, he has done little to nothing to reinstate trust. There are a lot of things that remind me or trigger the memories of what happened. I have tried to talk to him, but he refuses to see why it's important to me. When I married him, I could not have asked for a better man. I have felt that a lot of our struggle is on a spiritual level.
Okay, here again.
Maybe he showed no indications of being a lying
no.
piece of...
It's just that they always say he's a really good man. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Well, she said when she married him.
When she married him.
When she married him, he was.
Oh, I thought you said now.
Yes. No, no, no. When she married him, she could have not asked for a better man.
Okay. But back up a little bit. What did she say she did what? He keeps doing it no matter what?
There are a lot of things that remind me or trigger the memories of what happened. She's tried to talk to him, but he refuses to see why it's important to me. I mean, why it's bothering her, why she wants to talk about it, I guess.
But he's not still doing it.
No, no. But I did get a little bit of more back information, and off and on, he did continue. So it's been about 3 years.
Done. Okay, but he's stopped. Yeah. And that's not unusual. It's really hard. When you get into this rat hole, it's really hard to get out. I mean, manners people, you can go years after something and they still feel the pull to pull them back in. It is intense.
Yeah, it was kind of off and on, and up to about 3 years ago, then it finally stopped. So it hasn't been anything recently.
But she chose. Mm-hmm. But again, I thought you said something about he was doing something bad or something, or...
I'm sorry, I've not been able to move past it. He's done nothing to reinstate the trust.
Okay, there you go. He has done nothing to reinstate the trust. What does she mean by that? What is he supposed to do? If he hasn't done anything to reinstate the trust, then that's on you. Dear, you need to make sure that he does something to reinstate the trust.
She says every time
she has to enforce it. They have to enforce this own deal.
She says every time I think we're moving forward, he'll do or say something incredibly stupid or completely inconsiderate of what he has put me through. She wants to know how to get past it.
Okay, so your husband cheats on you. You decide to move past it. Mm-hmm. And then he keeps doing things to trigger really nasty. What do you do about it?
I don't know.
What would you do? I know you'd yell and scream at the top of your lungs.
It would be hard to tell because in this situation,
shooting blam.
If it was off and on, and it, you know, I don't know if she ever kicked him out. I'd just kick him out until you get this all worked out. You know, I there wouldn't be this insensitive thing. Okay. It'd be like you're either going to do this all in or all out, or I'm not doing this.
Again, that's my point.
Yes.
I always pick on women here, but as you say, crazy women. Those are the ones that are driving. All women don't think. There's a lot of women that are perfect. Most women in marriages are normal, healthy women who don't put up with this nonsense. Then you got the smaller percentage of women that they're just not healthy in their heads. And I don't know what they're misunderstanding, what somebody else is teaching them or a pastor's teaching them, because I don't even think most pastors would intentionally teach some of this nonsense. Most normal, healthy people don't put up with this bad behavior. You confront it in the strongest of terms. Again, it's the What Motivates a Man show, right? Yeah. You want a man to succeed, you've got to give him incentive to succeed. But you want to keep a man from doing bad things, there has to be punishment on the other side. There has to be something. What that is, work that out with your church group and stuff like that, or your pastor, get some advice and stuff. But this idea, and of course, a lot of churches, they don't understand marriage. They just don't. They don't, because the Bible hardly says anything about marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of pastors, they will tell their wives, no matter what the guy says or does, she should just submit. Yeah. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible also says we're supposed to submit to our pastors. But what if your pastor's committing adultery? Your church going to submit to him?
Nope.
No. What if your pastor steals all the money in the church? Your church going to submit to him?
Nope.
No. Well, the Bible says you should, but it's different with the church because they understand there is discipline in the church. What the church has failed to do is show that there's discipline in the home. Yeah. The same rules that govern the church govern the home. And that's where so many churches fail. That's where so many Christians fail. Just look at what you should do to a pastor who's doing what your husband's doing. What would the church do to him? Mm-hmm. There would be a come-to-Jesus moment. There needs to be come-to-Jesus. Now, again, we don't know what he's doing. That's the sad.
You know,
he could not be giving her flowers, and she thinks, that's so insensitive.
But if it's things like he's out, and she doesn't know where he is, and he's not answering his phone, or he doesn't come home, and he's late, there would be hell to pay in my house. If you
and in my house, and in his house, and in, he's not married. That one's not married. But and in Tim's house.
Not his house.
Not his house. He can do whatever he wants, because he's a single crazy man. All right? And Kurt's house, they wouldn't tolerate it.
No. It wouldn't be like, you've hurt my feelings, what do I do now? I would be a raging lunatic at you. I would.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. So many of these women that struggle, like this sweet lady, she's a nice lady, listen to my show, anybody listen to my show? Yeah. There's a nice person. A little crazy, but you're a nice person. But here's a lady who, she doesn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, if this was off and on for 5 of 8 years kind of a thing, it wouldn't have gone off and on for 5 of 8 years in my house, because it would have ended. It would have been kicked out, this ends, or I'm done.
Wouldn't surprise me if she never really kicked him out in the first place, even over the affair.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't get the impression.
It wouldn't surprise me that she never really did anything other than call him on it, and she was really upset about it, and he felt bad because he should feel bad.
Yeah.
But again, if there's no price, do you know, girls, why, let me say it this way. Do you know why most women drive the speed limit? Seriously. Do you know why? Because it's the speed limit. Mm-hmm. Do you know why most men will drive the speed limit when they do? It's because they don't want to get a ticket.
It's being enforced.
It's being enforced because the cops are on the road. Because if a man, I'm just telling ladies, it is what it is. If every man in your city right now knew that no matter how fast they drove, there would be no police, how fast do you think they'd drive?
Very fast.
They'd go crazy. They'd, just, go, they'd just hammer it, man. They'd be, everything would be the Autobahn. My front yard here, now the German Autobahn, no speed limits. That's the way they would, okay? But women would still overwhelmingly drive the speed. I think it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Girls obey the rules more. So, you know, you can't have a situation where there's no consequence. Ladies, you give a man rule, a situation where there is no consequence, he will act very badly. I don't know her situation, and I'm nervous about saying that she should hammer the guy, because who knows what she's talking about. I remember one lady, she wrote me, said, you know, you said, Pastor, that you should kick the guy out, so I kicked my husband out of the house, and I found out why. It was like for nothing, like he wasn't picking up his underwear or something. You don't do it for that. Clearly the lady's unbalanced. She doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. I'm talking for outrageous behavior. If she's saying since he's committed the affair, he's continuing outrageous behavior, there needs to become a real come-to-Jesus moment. She wouldn't. Most healthy women would not tolerate it. Now, if he's just not being nice and not being patient, okay, then that's different. So it's hard to answer hers. Yeah. But in general, the way you stop it, two things. Either to get a man to do the right thing, you give him the right incentive, or if he's doing the bad thing, there has to be consequences. You women who want to do neither are the ones who have very confused relationships with men. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Like a desert illusion. We're back on the Mark Gunger Show, answering your questions about love, marriage, and relationships. And we've been talking a lot today about what it takes to motivate men and how the Bible actually teach. God has always dealt with men from the concept of rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Always has. It's from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. New Testament, Old Testament. And these people who come and say you should never have rewards for good behavior, they don't know what they're talking about. There is the most unbiblical concept. It is unbelievable, crazy nonsense that they talk about. They say that with their children. Never reward your child. We've had people, I've known them personally, good friends, who we never reward our children ever for anything. I just think it's wrong. It sounds so spiritual. It sounds so good, but it's baloney. If they're so right, then God's really messed up. Because God, from the beginning, always said, if you do right, I will bless you. If you don't, I will punish you. And we see this all the way through, even the New Testament. You know, it's all, you know, if you do this, you want to draw close to God? The Bible says, draw close to him. There's always that. And the women who struggle the most with men are the ones who don't understand it. They don't know how to reward their husbands as incentive to do what they want them to do, and don't know how to bring down the hammer when they're doing bad behavior.
Because they think he should just be this model husband because he loves her.
But they're so dysfunctional, they don't even know what the behavior is. That's what I'm saying. Some women will, you know, well, I kicked my husband out because they had dirty underwear. And I said, that's crazy. And then, of course, Phil pointed out that
you didn't see his dirty underwear.
Yeah, it could have been.
It could have been
a divorceable offense.
Yeah.
Which, actually, as funny as that is, that's very true. Depending on and some of, and how many things you had to deal with it, you know.
Wait. Did you just say dirty underwear is a divorceable offense?
No. Is it bootable, kicking him out?
Oh, bootable.
Depending on the circumstance of how intensely bad these underwear are, what's in the underwear, how many times you've had to deal with the underwear. So
Exhibit A.
Even in that context.
Kick him out until you can keep his underwear in order.
There is some actionable
steps in this matter.
Not so. Divorceable. Just
no, not
divorceable.
None of this is divorceable. The only thing that's really divorceable is your husband's sexually unfaithful to you.
Yeah.
Everything else is in the context of reward or punishment. It's just that simple. And you can still do it respectfully. You can even when churches have to discipline their pastors, they have to do it respectfully. Well, but they have hope. To discipline them. Again, the Christian community, by and large, this is what I deal with all my life, dealing with care of couples, marriages, stuff like that. It seems like when it comes to dealing in the home, churches don't get it. They do in the church. If a pastor who they're supposed to submit to does bad things or it's uncontrollable, and then they bring the hammer down on him and there's discipline and they bring him before and there's all kinds of, you fire him if you have to, kick him out of the church, whatever you got to do. But when it comes to the home, the only thing they know to do is what they read in Ephesians, which is a woman should submit to her husband. And it's just not the whole story. The rules work in both places, all right? See ya!
Bye, Bible!